Let us pray. Lord, may the word from our lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you. Amen. I don't know about the rest of you, but I am sensing that the whole world is sinking into chaos. There are heat waves, droughts, forest fires, earthquakes throughout the Northern Hemisphere this summer. And in the Southern Hemisphere, there are volcanoes and earthquakes, torrential rains, and mudslides popping up everywhere. There is armed conflict in 30 countries around the world, and threats of armed conflict in probably another 30. In politics, there is a strong shift globally from democratic rule to populists and autocrats. I have a tendency to blame a lot of this political change on the Americans for electing Donald Trump as their president in 2016. However, I think we can trace it back further than this election. This shift had to be in the works a long time before for someone of Donald Trump's character to get elected in the first place. Let's not beat around the bush. Donald Trump is a disaster, but he has plenty of company in other countries. The result is the political mood internationally has shifted to protectionism, isolationism, anti-migration, and more authoritarian governing generally. Old alliances are being strained and unhealthy new relationships are being forged. Long-standing stabilizing treaties are being broken, strained, or ignored in a wave of nationalism, characterized by Trump's "Let's make America great again." The man who won the election almost 2 years ago, but he hasn't stopped campaigning, as if he can't believe it. Canada has been a strongest ally and supporter and friend of the United States for over 150 years. A newly elected American president always makes Canada his first stop in international diplomacy. Not Trump. He went to Saudi Arabia, the most ultra-conservative country on the planet, and with whom we are now locked in a ridiculous tweeting contest, which will cause a lot of grief and hardship to many people, many students, many hospitals, who have come to expect these two countries to have good relations no matter what. Canada has trained countless medical personnel who are the background or backbone of Saudi medical care, and Canada has benefited by those students being here as residents and scholars. Now, an unreasonable reaction by a petulant crown prince to an almost standard diplomatic tweet from Canada's Foreign Relations Ministry has escalated into a diplomatic standoff which is totally bewildering. I wonder if the Trump administration had anything to do with this as a quid pro quo to Canada for our stubborn resistance to Trump's unreasonable NAFTA demand. However, the big question is, as we watch the evening news, waiting for the next shoe to drop, does any of this really have anything to do with us? We live in Peterborough. Most of us are retired. We are members of a very small congregation, which is doing some very big things for its size. And our community is a very welcoming community for newcomers, including ex-Torontonians, refugees, and immigrants. We are, as posted, a welcoming community. We are, as St. Paul's, a very open church, which is striving to change and grow into a community of faith, which God is busy shaping as the Christian family of the future in North America. Change is very much upon us, and we are embracing it. We profess to be led by the Holy Spirit and seek God's grace. at every step we take. We are a professed Christian community and profess to be a praying church. And we say that we take our leading from answered prayer. If that is true, then every action we take should be measurable against biblical standards. The way we do that is to hold our decisions to the test. The test is whether decisions that lead to our actions come from thoughts generated by our human nature, or are they decisions generated by the influence of the Holy Spirit within. In our scripture reading from Romans chapter 8, we are told, those who live as their human nature tells them to have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. It goes on to say, those who obey their human nature cannot please God. In Galatians 5, we receive instructions to tell us when the Spirit is reacting to our thoughts and when that reaction is coming from our human nature. Human nature shows itself in immoral, filthy, and indecent actions, in worship of idols and witchcraft. People become enemies. They fight. They become jealous, angry, ambitious. They separate into parties and groups. They are envious, get drunk, have orgies, and do other things like these. Those who do these things will not possess the kingdom of God. Can you see these things in the actions of some government and business leaders today? Can you see these things in your local politicians and business leaders? Can you see any of these things in our own actions or the actions of our leaders in the church? If so, we will fail in our actions. It is vitally important that we pray rightly and often, seeking the guidance of the Spirit before acting on our thoughts. To do otherwise will doom us to failure and unanswered prayer. On the other hand, Galatians tells us the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. It goes on to say those who belong to Christ Jesus have put to death their human nature with all its passions and desires. Can you see these things in some government and business leaders today? Can you see these things in your local politicians and business leaders? Can you see any of these things in our own actions or the actions of our leaders in the church? If so, then we cannot fail in our actions as we move into our new vision of ourselves as a family of God. Galatians 6, verse 7. Summarize it well when it says, no one makes a fool of God. You will reap exactly what you plant. Our responsive reading today was a prayer of confidence by David. Many of our music pieces by choice today and by design were also prayers. You could recite them and they would make beautiful prose or poetry. We are, by choice, a praying church. Prayer and praise are our way of opening the doors to the kingdom of God and inviting God to commune with us and to share with us in the choices we make that lead to our actions that we are taking. Are we praying rightly in every case? Do we take a moment before we cross that event horizon which separates thought from action? Thoughts cannot be sinful. We're allowed to have free thoughts. That isn't the problem, and that's not where the problem lies. That isn't where we separate ourselves from the kingdom of God. Our thoughts are our own. However, when we turn those thoughts into choices, into actions, we open ourselves to the influence of the human nature. We open ourselves to missing the mark. We open ourselves to unanswered prayer because God does not spread his grace on sin. And to decide from the human nature is to sin. God will not stop us from acting from our human natures. But God will not support actions taken from choices made from our human natures. You will reap exactly what you plant. This congregation was down to its last legs 3 years ago. Committees were set up to dispose of assets and explorations were made about joining another congregation. Preparations were underfoot to abandon the building which had been home for over 180 years. Hard choices were being made about both within the church and within households which made up the body of the congregation. Some people left. Others thought about leaving and explored other church homes within Peterborough. Then, if by chance, we heard that Brock Mission was looking for a home. After several months of meetings and discussions, an agreement was reached that they would occupy our Christian education wing as of July 2016. In September of 2015, we decided to abandon looking for another home as a congregation and settled into the guild room. Artifacts had to be sold off and or given away, but it worked. And here we are, 3 years later, and on the precipice of another leap of faith. Rent from Brock Mission has been enough to maintain our budget so that we remain financially solvent even while the congregational givings continued to fall off. That is about to change again. However, with the sale of the property, we will have a sizable cash reserve, which when invested properly, will make up for half of the loss of revenue from Brock Mission. The precipice we are about to hurdle off is the need to grow to survive into the future. Either we grow and increase our congregational givings as a result, or we will be like so many other churches across North America who has been folding because they have become unsustainable and their reserve fund has finally run out. The choices we must make shortly will have far-reaching consequences for this congregation. We have but one set of criteria for making those choices. We must choose with the help of the Holy Spirit. To do otherwise will condemn us to a certain slow death. Pastor Jonathan has told us that it is not our job to grow the numbers in our ranks. God will bring the people. Our function is to do the things that make a church healthy. The list is on the back. Right there. Put it in your refrigerator. And refer to it daily. These things are our responsibility. We can only achieve them if we include the Holy Spirit in all of our decisions. The roadmap is clear, and the path lays out before us. It was no chance that Brock Mission came to us when it did. We had spent 2014 and a good part of the early months of 2015 setting up support for the Little Angel of Jacmel in Haiti. We had arranged a mission trip for 12 people to go to Haiti in October of 2014 for a 2-week work mission. We had fundraised in one night over $12,000 to cover supplies and other expenses for that mission trip. God blessed this church and that mission trip in so many ways that those of us who participated were dumbfounded at how our money and our mission kept expanding the longer we were there. We continue to sponsor this refugee or this orphanage today as a congregation. And God continues to bless us and the orphans in Jacmel because of the place of origin, of the choices we made. We had reacted to the need from our spirit. We had done so when we were financially and emotionally at our lowest point as a church. This mission gave us purpose and brought us out of ourselves. We were living again as God's people. The church was fun again, and it showed. My testimony is more personal. Briefly, I developed a medical problem the last 2 days of the mission, but I kept it to myself. The day after we arrived home, I ended up in the emergency department at PRHC and had urgent surgery as a result. I know God kept me together enough to get me here to Peterborough, where I could get everything done that needed to be done without disrupting or diminishing the power of that mission trip. Each one of us who went on that mission trip can probably tell a similar story where God touched us. St. Paul's continued to make other choices from Spirit. We became involved with the reception and integration of the refugees from Syria who were coming to Peterborough, beginning in the winter of 2015. Through Rani Ibrahim and his mother Danya, who were refugees themselves, but more importantly, God's harbingers to us, they sought out and joined our congregation and ended up starting a youth ministry, ESL classes, and an Arabic ministry. And many of us got involved. We were able to sponsor Rani to begin training for the ministry. And through the presbytery, we have secured him funding for his startup Arabic ministry here in Peterborough. This was God's grace in action again. And we rose to the challenge once again. And God has showered us with his blessings as a consequence. This is who we have become. We are not the same church that moved into this guild room so many years ago. We are renewed and refitted for the challenges ahead. And God is right here with us because we were challenged and we answered this with choices from Spirit. God wants us to be one of the survivors, one of the new army, about to cross into the new Jordan, into the new Jericho, and claim our new Canaan. But only if we remain committed to prayer and choosing our actions with the active involvement of the Holy Spirit in our decision-making processes. We can do it. We have done it before. This is not a new exercise. The key for us is to consciously admit God as Spirit within to our thoughts and apply the principles of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. If we find any of these elements within the decisions that we are making, then we know we are on sacred ground, and God's grace will bring us through. No one can know the mind of God. God was in the beginning, is in the present, and is also in the end. God stands outside of time, and yet sees all of time from beginning to end. God knows the twists and the turns that lie ahead, and has sent us the Holy Spirit as a guide to help us keep on track. Wouldn't it be wise for us to include him in our decision-making processes? It's our choice.